James chapter 1, let's look at a few verses here tonight. Our theme has been stick with the book. You're holding a Bible, say amen. If you don't have a Bible with you, there's some in the pews, there's somebody near you, I'm sure you can look on. But thank God that at least in the United States of America, even if you don't own one, it's not hard to get one. Now you can get it on your phone, on your computer. Amen. So there's no excuse for not having a Bible. We have it. So the question is not just getting a copy of it. It's not just getting a Bible. It's letting the Bible get you. Stick with the book. James teaches us that we became Christians through the book. Brother Andre just mentioned a couple moments ago, couple of the folks that came this morning, they got saved. How many of you glad about that? Amen. Amen. Man and his son and the family back tonight. Praise the Lord. What happens in that back room? These folks come up here, somebody takes them in that back room. What they doing back there? Showing them the book. Showing them the book. Not a church covenant, not a church creed. We're not telling them our experiences. We're not trying to get them to say Jesus really, really fast, you know, shumba chumba dumba shit about a Honda, about a Nissan. No, we're showing them the book. Why? Because it works. So when they came out today and say they got saved according to the book. So James is saying, if the book got you in the family, then since you are a Christian, stick with the book. Turn to the person beside you and say, stick with the book. Turn to the other side and say, stick with the book. Now talk to yourself. Say, stick with the book, Bert Dunn. Amen. Keep you out of trouble. Stick with the book. Last week we talked about the book being a mirror. When you're standing in the mirror, what you looking at? Come on, talk to me. When you stand in front of a mirror, what are you looking at? Yourself. Because a mirror does what with an image? Reflects it. So don't punch the mirror. I don't like what I see. Don't stand in front of it. The mirror will reveal what's in front of it. The word will reveal you to yourself. But the Bible's better than just any mirror. Mirrors just show you what you are. But the Bible's the perfect law of liberty. It doesn't just show you what you are. It'll fix you up. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let the church say amen. Our Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. We're not praying just because that's what you do after you read the text. We're praying because we need you. Amen. May you cleanse me, empty me, fill me. May you use me to be your mouthpiece representing this book. I know by experience that it changes lives. It works. So help us tonight to work it according as it's been given. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. For those of you who've not been here for any of our lessons through the book of James, James's theme is spiritual maturity. The man James was the brother of Jesus Christ. He was another son of Joseph and Mary. And can you imagine growing up with Jesus? Now Jesus has gone back into heaven. James is writing this letter. He's writing it to Jews who were scattered over. They were struggling. They were being persecuted. They had chosen the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that was bringing on them a lot of difficulty, a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of ostracism, a lot of isolationism, a lot of persecution. And James says, listen, I don't care what you're going through. If you're saved and you're scattered, listen to me, and you're not sheltered for problems, but I will tell you that your biggest need is to grow up in the Lord. And if you're saved, you were born in the family of God. And when you're born as a what? A baby.
And he said, if you're going to make it in this thing called the Christian life, you can't stay a baby. You got to grow up. So we looked at chapter number 1. We talked about trials. All right? What doesn't kill you will make you stronger. So trials grow you if you let them. So he says, we grow up in the Lord through spiritual maturity. He moved on through that after talking about trials. He talked about temptation. Don't bite the bait. The devil wants you to sin. God wants you to do right. If you agree with that, say amen. Let me say it again. The devil wants you to sin. God always wants you to do right. God doesn't tempt you. God can't be tempted, and he doesn't do the tempting. You're tempted when you're drawn away of your own lust. The devil knows your flesh is wicked. You say, I'm saved. Your flesh isn't saved. It's just as lost as it ever was. Always desiring the wrong things, never satisfied, never full. This insatiable appetite that resides inside our flesh. Your flesh will never want good stuff. It will never not want bad stuff. But the Spirit of God living inside of you is greater than your flesh. And when you yield to the Spirit of God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can say no to temptation. Amen. So we've looked the last several weeks about this. Sticking with the book, we saw several aspects of the word getting us in the family, our aptitude and our attitude. Last week, we looked at the supposed action. Don't just be hearers of the word, but doers. You can't just hear the truth. You got to do the truth. Amen. And the state of the analogy talked about that mirror. Tonight, I want to close this chapter with what I call a sure analysis. There's going to be an analysis done on all of us. The first analysis is whether or not you're guilty of what I call religious pretense. Pastor, I don't understand what you mean by religious pretense. Whether you fake, that's what I mean. I mean the book will reveal it. If any man among you, next word, look at your Bibles. Talk to me. Talk to me, everybody. If any man among you what? Seem. Say amen if you believe that not everything is what it seems. Amen. Let me go further. Not everybody is what he seems to be. And not every person that says he's religious is righteous. Now, Jesus was never a big fan of religion. The Pharisees in the Bible were religious people. And Jesus hated the way that they lived so much that he invented a new way to talk to them. I mean, when he spoke to the Pharisees in the Bible, he spoke to them like he spoke to no one else. They were getting ready to stone a woman caught in adultery. And Jesus told him, if you haven't no sin in your life, you cast the first stone. They all had to walk away because they couldn't stone her because they had their own sin. Now, you might think that if Jesus were going to tell somebody off, it would be that adulterous woman. He didn't tell her off. He said, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. He didn't tell her off, but he told them off. You say, she was an adulteress. Isn't that wicked? Absolutely. But worse than being in adultery was people who were fake. He had much tolerance for that. That's right. The world's full of sinners. Why? They need Jesus. Amen. But people that claim to know Jesus and don't act like it, for real, Jesus said, he had me tolerance for that. Religious pretense. If any among you seem. We're living in a day and age with a lot of religious toters. I love the Lord. God is good to me. I'm blessed and highly favored, spirit-filled. Really? So if you have religious pretense, that means you have an own thought. You own the thought that you are religious. Folks think they're religious. You spend time on visitation, you knock on doors. Hi, I'm from the Crossroads Baptist Church. I like to invite you to church. Oh, I've been in church all my life. That doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Do you realize that people can go to hell right from a church pew? You don't get saved because you're religious. You get saved because you have a relationship with Christ. And that relationship with him comes from knowing the word of God that tells you, you must be washed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody can go to heaven unless they go through Jesus Christ. So there's an owned thought. The owned thought says, I am religious. And there are a lot of people that would be proud to say they're religious. But James says, let's run that owned thought with an objective test. If any person seemed to be religious, boy, that sure is a good man. Boy, that's a good Christian right there. Boy, he sure does love the Lord. Boy, you can sure tell that's a spiritual individual right now. James says, oh, really? Let's run the test. Can that seemingly religious individual control his tongue? Come on, James. I mean, you're going to test the truth of our religion on our tongue? If any of you seem to be religious and bridleless, not his tongue. In other words, you can say you love God all you want to, but if you truly love God, you will know how to control your mouth. I wish somebody would say amen. What does the word bridle mean? It means to lead with a bridle. It's what you do with a horse. So it literally means to hold in check. A horse with a bridle on him can't go where he wants to go, even though he tries. How many of you know that mouth, if you let it, will be off the hook? Raise your hand. Unless you bridle it. Bridle it. Keep it under control. Hold in check. Restrain. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Beep. No, you don't. No, you don't. Oh, I walk with God. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He's the head of my life. Tell somebody off. If any among you seem to be religious, remember the theme of James is grow up, grow up, grow up. I meet people all the time. They love God so much, but why didn't their brain tell their mouth? Bridle not his tongue. The own thought seems to be religious. The objective test, can he bridle his tongue? The obvious truth, he deceiveth his own heart and his religion is in vain. Here's what he's saying. You can think you something, but if you think you something and you can't control your mouth, you that thinks you're something are truly nothing. That's right. And he's not calling you nothing by meaning your life is invaluable. He's saying, you're wasting your time observing all those religious practices when the truth of the matter is you need a relationship with God. So there's an analysis that James is running. The first analysis could be you tonight. Religious pretense. But there's a second one, and it's what I call real practice. Pure religion. Now remember, James was bent to that of religion because James was given to Judaism. Of course, he finally realized that Jesus was the Christ. After Jesus resurrected, Jesus said, I saw James. James believed. But James said, let's talk about pure religion. Obviously, in the sense of the word religious means to adhere to the observances of a particular religion or belief system. James says, let's not just talk about what you say. Let's talk about what you do. Pure religion. Tonight we could call it a real relationship. Real Christians are not people that just say they're religious. They're Christians that show they're righteous. And let me give you two things and we'll go home. Number one, unselfish service. Look at the verse in verse 27. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And by the way, this word visit is not just saying stop past the house and drop off a basket. The word visit here means to look out, to select. It has the idea of inspecting, overseeing, shepherding. to visit with help. Pure religion. Unselfish service. Oh, pastor, this is not a big deal. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we're living in a society today where it seems like the more religious people get, the more selfish they become. I'm too good to mess with you. I'm too holy to spend time with you. I've been saved too long to fool with you. To visit the widows, to visit the fatherless. And by the way, those two groups of people don't exhaust the list. They're just examples. James says, stop telling me how much you love God when you're not willing to love anybody else. We got churches today that are so full of themselves, no wonder they can't get full with people. To visit the fatherless. I'll tell you what pure religion looks like at Crossroads Baptist Church. It looks like visitation. It looks like soul winning blitz. It looks like bus ministry, prison ministry, homeless ministry, discipleship, pouring your life into people, involvement in a ministry. Anybody can stand up on a Sunday, sing in a choir and sit in a church service and quote the scripture. But pure religion is when you leave these buildings and you walk out of those doors and say, somebody that doesn't know Jesus is going to hear about him from me.
Wow. James said, we're going to run an analysis here and find out if you really love the Lord. If you love him, you're going to have unselfish service. Amen. But look beyond there. The last part. Not only do you have unselfish service, but then you have unspotted separation. And look at the verse. And to keep, read it now, and to keep himself, what?
Unspotted.
From what? And he ain't talking about the globe. He's talking about the system of society. Let me ask a question. How perceptive do you have to be in 2017 to discern the world is wicked? You need a second opinion? How much news you got to watch to find out there's wickedness everywhere? How many statistics you got to study to find out sin's off the hook? How long you got to watch the news before you figure out the devil's busy? How many days you got to spend in school, kids, to find out that there's sin on every hand? Come on! Pure religion! See, here's the problem. We go down the pews of a church and ask people, what do you call pure religion? I mean, what do you call Christianity? And most of them will say, well, come to church, reading your Bible and praying and singing. And well, that's part of Christianity, isn't it? But James said, let's kind of narrow that test. You're not just a real Christian because of how you sing on Sunday. You're a real Christian because of how stained you get on Saturday, unstained you are on Saturday. Unspotted from the world. I'm closing somewhat. But the problem with 2017 is that Christians pursue Christianity with this premise. I want to try to serve God and be as worldly as I can at the same time. I said they go out on a quest to find out how close they can be to the world and connected with Jesus simultaneously. James says, your religion is in vain. Can I be same dressed like the world? Can I be same think like the world? Can I be saved and live? And by the way, you can be saved and worldly. You sure can. But you can't be a good Christian and worldly. The word unspotted there means unstained. By the way, what color garment do you think most vividly reveals a stain? Talk to me.
White.
Say it. See, even the child said, right. I don't know it, but we're going to call it that. Amen. I think the child was repeating what they heard. Amen. White. Isaiah said this. Come now and reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as what? White as snow. When God washed you clean, he washed you what? White as snow. Listen to me, Christian. Your stain sticks out more than a lost person's stain because you've been washed white. So why are you saying, because I get sick and tired of Christian people saying, what's the big deal with me doing it? Everybody's doing it, but they ain't white like you. And in case you just tuned in, I'm talking about our hearts. I can see somebody listening in, tuning in right at this part of the message. They ain't white like you. What kind of crazy man is that? They haven't been washed white as snow like you. I don't know about you. It does something to my mind spiritually when I force it to concentrate on the fact that the purity of my religion in the eyes of people is often judged by how different I am from the world. That means you can sing 20 times a month in this church and still be a lousy Christian. Teach classes in every service. Amen. And some people like to teach all the time because they don't want to be under preaching. Run and tell that. But you can run from preaching, but you can't run from God. Whew, I got to church and I didn't have to hear the preaching. Yeah, but if you're saved, the preacher goes home with you, called the Holy Ghost of God. And he has access to you when I don't. At 2 in the morning, I ain't coming in your house. I'm in bed. But the Holy Spirit can wake you up at 2 in the morning. He's already with you. And you say, oh, what am I going to do? He said, don't worry about it. I'm going to preach to you. You thought pastor was rough. You know, I could give 52 weeks out of the year and not be a good Christian if I got spots and stains from the world on me. It's the most difficult fight that we're going to have until Jesus comes. Staying unspotted from the world. But listen, being unspotted from the world, it's not the aim of the Christian. It's a byproduct of the aim. Don't miss this. Biblical separation is always first and foremost unto God. You say, I'm separated. We like to brag about who we're unlike. But Christianity is more about who you're like. And the more you're like God, the more unlike you will be to the world. If I'm like Jesus, I won't be like the world. My dress will be different. My attitude will be different. My dress will be different. My language will be different. My relationships will be different. Come on. My habits will be different. My dress will be different. And my dress will be different. Well, I don't believe that. Shh. You're starting to tell people your religion's in vain. Does it matter what I look like? Sure. Does it matter who I hang with? Sure. Go to jail and you'll find out there are people that are locked up, never committed a crime. They just had criminals for friends. Oh, it matters who you hang with. Sure does. It's called accomplice, associate, guilt by association. I didn't pull anything. I didn't steal anything. I didn't do it. I wasn't part of it. I was just there. That's enough to get you free room and board. And I meet Christians all the time. They want to fly like an eagle. while running with the buzzards. And it won't work. Amen. So you want to start flying like an eagle, you better start running with eagles. You have to guard yourself. James was dealing with a lot of people that were religious, like we are. Hey, could I invite you to Crossroads Baptist Church? Oh, yeah, I've been a member of a church for years. We're not talking about being a member of a church. We're talking about being in Christ. And that should change what you drink, what you smoke, what you say, what you wear, where you go. But wait a minute, James said it's the perfect law of liberty. Don't leave here thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm not going to have any life. Jesus didn't come to take your life. He came to give you life that you might have it more abundant. Well, I feel like the Christian life is everything I can't do. Are you kidding me? God didn't save you to stop you from doing stuff. He saved you to start you from doing stuff. Listen, my friend, when he saved you, he didn't just block you from living. He opened up the windows of heaven, put the Holy Ghost inside of you. Now you can have joy, peace, and excitement, and know that heaven is your home. The devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. If anybody's stealing your life, it's that lying dragon. If anybody's giving you liberty, it's that gentle Savior. And I say, lead me on. You'll go to work with somebody tomorrow that'll start off the day seeming to be religious. Dear Lord, bless us breakfast that we're about to receive. It won't be 2 hours for that same person to be cussing. You might be that one I'm talking about. James said, you can't bridle your tongue. Your religion is a waste of time. And if you really got the pure stuff, you'll have unselfish service. I meet more and more Christians that the longer they're saved, the less they serve. Yeah, I used to go, I used to visit, but you know, James didn't change. You got to love on people if you say you love Jesus. You got to be separated, unspotted from the world. And I like the terminology, keep himself, guard yourself. The only person that's going to keep you from being worldly is you, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, James, I agree with you. We got in this thing with the Bible, and since it got us in, we might as well ride it on through. I don't know about you. I'm determined to stick with the book. Our Father, thank you. Thank you for the Bible, the difference it makes. It's changed us, and it's still changing us. And we don't ever want to fight the book. Your head's bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe God's talking to you tonight. You say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. I have Bible reasons to prove it. Thank God that a couple folks can raise their hand tonight that couldn't this morning. I know that I'm going to heaven. If you know that, would you raise your hand? I'm saved, and I know it. God bless you. God bless you. Put your hand down. Pastor, I'm saved. I just raised my hand, but I want my relationship with God. I want it to be pure. I want to be a real Christian, not just a professing Christian. God spoke to me tonight. Would you raise your hand all over the building? God bless you. God bless you. One more thought, and then we'll close. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Listen to the question. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. I may seem to be religious. I may have been in church, maybe a member of a church. I may be a doer of good deeds, but I don't have a true relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ. I've never accepted him as my Savior. And because of that, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. I'm not asking you to say anything or do anything other than just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven, but I do not want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I'll not embarrass you to call your name out. I just want to pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? We'll just simply pray for you. We love you here. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, preacher, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody? 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 Let's stand together. Many have prayed already, and you can come join them. Right where you are, if God's spoken to your heart, a bunch of folks have come and talked to God about it. Unspotted. Unspotted. Stick out on white stuff. Sure they do. Did you hear it? Draw me nearer. Yeah, the closer I get to him, the less I want those stains on me. Rattling your tongue. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the difference it's made. Continue to shape us into being the image of Christ. Pure, pure, practical. Not just pretending religion. We love you. Thank you for being an awesome God. In Jesus' name, before his sin. All God's children said. All God's children said.